Since 1937, the Lights of Spiritual Guidance purpose has been to proclaim Jesus Christ as he brings light into a darkened world. So glad you chose to join us today, and I trust the program will be a blessing to you as you listen to this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Good morning and welcome to this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. That song, Oh Come Along, is a reminder that Jesus Christ could come at any moment, and it behooves all of us to be certain and sure that we're ready for his sudden appearing. It's off an album that I recorded titled Favorites. It has 20 songs on it. What Will You Do for Jesus? I Want to Walk with the Lord. Who Am I? Watch What My God Can Do. Scars Are a Sign of Healing. Shelter from the Storm, A Very Special Grace, and many other songs. I'd like to send it to you. This is my birthday month, and I'd like to send it to you as a gift. Of course, if you would like to share in the support of this radio program, that would be welcome also. I hope you'll pray for me as I'm involved in revival services during the month of October. This first weekend of the month of October, I'm in Kurtz, Indiana, at the Church of the Nazarene. Then October 11 to 13, I'll be in Orleans, Indiana, again at the Church of the Nazarene. Then October 20 to 23, traveling to Flemingsburg, Kentucky, to the Church of the Nazarene there. Be my third time at that church, looking forward to going back. Then the final Sunday of the month of October, I will be at Rockville, Indiana, at the Church of the Nazarene. It's just a Sunday morning only. So I do covet your prayers as I'm involved in these services. Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful for our listening audience. I never know who is listening, but you know, and I pray that you would minister to those who are sick, those who might be shut in, can't get out to church today. I pray for those who are experiencing difficult days. I pray that you'd give them a measure of peace that only you can give in times of hurt and times of pain and times of wondering what the next day will bring. So glad, Father, that you care about us and that you send your Holy Spirit to comfort us and that Jesus loves us, cares about us, the wonderful Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is available to us through this marvelous plan of salvation you've made available to us. So I pray your blessing upon the folks that are listening today. Bless the remainder of the program. Bless those who will stand and preach. Bless those traveling in itinerant ministry. May this be a good day, good weekend in the Lord. I ask it all in the name of Jesus. Amen. Don't forget to write to me. The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201.
God looked ahead in time and made provision through his only Son. He purchased our salvation. The perfect sinless Lamb, the price of sin's demand. Once for all, he died for fallen man. The death he died to sin once for all. As royal blood flowed from Calvary, he died once for all. No more sacrifice for sin, it's now completed all in him. Once for all, he was dying once for all. He is the life, he is the truth, he is the way. Oh, what a Savior God provided on that day. It is finished, he cried, and through the ages rings this call. Come unto me, I died for thee once for all. The death he died to sin once for all. As royal blood flowed from Calvary, he died once for all. No more sacrifice for sin, it's now completed all in him. Once for all, he was dying once for all. Dying, yet he rose again, seated now at God's right hand, interceding still for man once for all. Death he died to sin once for all. As royal blood flowed from Calvary, he died once for all. No more sacrifice for sin, now completed all in Him. Once for all, He was dying. Once for all, He's provided. Once for all, He was dying.
First Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 13. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed at His coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Be ye holy because I am holy. Be ye holy because I am holy. I believe this is one of the most profound yet practical statements in all of the Bible. God is holy. No one in their right mind who knows anything about the Word of God would contradict that statement. And the great passion of his heart is to have a people who, in fact, will be like him in that regard. But when a preacher like myself begins to talk about being holy because God is holy, invariably, you're going to have people who will begin to raise their eyebrow and say things like, well, is that possible? Can we actually be holy because God is holy? With the changing norms of society, with the changing mindset regarding Christianity, does God really expect us to be holy because He is holy? Well, let me begin trying to answer those questions by reminding us this morning that this is one of God's oldest commandments. Three times in the Old Testament book of Leviticus, centuries before Peter's reminder, God says, be holy because I am holy. On three different occasions, He told the people of Israel that they were to be holy. And now some 16 centuries later, Peter, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, reminds us that God has not changed His mind. Be ye holy because I am holy. It's more than a suggestion. It's more than an invitation. It's more than mere good advice. As a matter of fact, I am convinced that it is just as much a command as is thou shalt not kill and thou shalt not steal. And my concern as an evangelist in a holiness denomination is that we not be known so much as a part of a holiness church or the holiness movement, but rather that we be known by the depth and the quality of our lives as holy people. It's a clear command from a holy God. We cannot sidestep it. We cannot ignore it. It is there, plain to see, in black and white. But it is not only a very clear command from a holy God, it is also a very practical command. God did not say, be ye omnipotent, for I am all powerful. We all know that's an impossibility. We are finite creatures. There is no way that we can, in the furthest reaches of our imagination, be omnipotent because God is omnipotent, all powerful, because God is all powerful. powerful. Even when God exerts some of his power is not diminished. So God does not expect you and me to be omnipotent, all-powerful, as he is omnipotent and all-powerful. Nor did God say, be ye omnipresent, for I am present everywhere. Again, finite creatures, no way that you and I can be at more than one place at one time. But God is omnipresent. He is everywhere. He can be in a camp meeting in Pennsylvania. He can be in a revival meeting in Ohio. He can be everywhere at the same time because he is omnipresent. But God did not say to you and me that we should be omnipresent because he is omnipresent. Nor did God say, be ye omniscient, for I am all wise and all knowing. Again, if you were to use 100% of that gray matter between your ears, you could still never be as all knowing, as all wise as God is. But he did say, be holy because I am holy. Dr. James Dunn makes the point in his study of the Pauline theology. He says, it is of utmost importance to recognize at the outset that the command does not enjoin God's people to be holy as God is holy, but to be holy because God is holy. You see, you and I have been created in his spiritual likeness. We have been learning during the Bible study that there is that God-shaped vacuum. There is that heart. There is that place that God can come and he can take up residence in our lives, and it will filter out through every part of our living experience. We're not expected to have these other marvelous attributes of God that we've noted, but we are expected to strive to live a life of holiness, by the way, without which no one will see the Lord. If you have your Bibles open there before you, turn to 2 Peter chapter 1 and read along with me when I read another of Peter's writings regarding being holy because he is holy. He tells us that we are partakers of his divine nature. Chapter 1 of 2 Peter, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in his divine nature. That's an incredible statement. Having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. I cannot imagine a God who is fair, who is kind, loving, teasing and tantalizing us with the command to be holy because he is holy, if it were not possible. Why would God tell you and me to be holy because he is holy if we could not attain a level of holiness? We have the command. It's plain to see. We have this command to be holy. But the wonderful thing about our God is that when he gives us a directive such as this, he always gives us the means by which we can attain a holy life. Thus, in the passage, we have, first of all, the documentation. As he who has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all that you do. In a more common language, he gives us the blueprint. As he who has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all that you do. Isn't it true? We've heard about a projected project that's possible. I saw the artist's renderings of that project on the president's desk this week. But if it moves forward, they're going to have to do something. They're going to hire, if they haven't already done it, the services of an architect. I remember when I was pastoring in Nashville, Tennessee, God was blessing the work there, and we were moving forward. We needed a new facility. We needed an educational building. And so we hired the services of a local architect, and he came in and he looked at our building and our our property. And then he brought back some artist renderings of what we could put on that property along with our present facility. And then after we got the approval from our denomination to build the building, one day after he had put together the working drawings, he called me and he said, "Lane, I finished the working drawings of the proposed building." And I went and I picked up those working drawings. And if you've ever seen a set of working drawings, you know we're not talking about a few sheets of paper, 8.5 by 11. We're talking about wide sheets of paper about like this, and they're about that tall, and they're rolled up and they're placed into a tube. I went and picked them up and I brought them back to my office. I unrolled them on my desk. I placed a weight on this end and a weight on that end, and I began to study those working drawings, and there was everything that we needed to know. Every dimension, every detail was there in the working drawings so that we might build the building according to the approval of the city of Nashville, Tennessee. And if I had the power today, I could take you to 630 Richards Road in Antioch, Tennessee, and I could show you the building. We built it according to the blueprint, and now it's stands as a testimony to that. It's being used for the purpose that was intended. And friend, that's the way it is with us. If we're going to be holy because God is holy, we must make certain that we're using the right blueprint. At the risk of sounding negative this morning, I fear that for too long we have made the mistake of using the wrong pattern, of using the wrong example. Could it be that we've been guilty of measuring ourselves with ourselves? Yeah. It's very easy to do that in the church. Yeah. Oh, we would never say anything out loud, but we might observe and we see who doesn't come to church as much as we do. Or we might observe when the offering plates are passed on a Sunday morning, and out of the corner of our eye, we see somebody who is in the church, but they don't drop anything into the plate. And if we're not careful, we might begin to assess that, and we might begin to conclude, well, I must be more spiritual than them. I come more than they do. I'm more involved than he is. And if we're not careful, we begin to measure ourselves by ourselves. And I am reminded what Paul said to the church at Corinth in chapter 10, verse 12 of his second letter to that church. He said, "We do not dare classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, then they are not wise." You do understand this morning that it is a very foolish thing to measure your spiritual life alongside someone else's spiritual life. That is a false standard by which to measure one's holiness. Back in the 40s, when the main avenue of entertainment was the radio, families would gather around their radios in the evening and they would listen to the various programs that would come on early in the evening. The Shadow Knows, Amos and Andy, The Lone Ranger. I can remember riding in my dad's car with him in the 50s, early 50s, and he would turn on the radio on the way to a revival meeting, and on that AM dial he would find a powerful station, and there would be one of those old-fashioned radio dramas or comedy sketch-type programs. And during those years, back in the 40s, many years ago now, there was a weekly radio program presented by Arturo Toscanini and the NBC Symphony Orchestra. And it was listened to regularly by people throughout our nation. And at the close of a particularly thrilling number, the announcer for the program came on with this announcement, this statement. He said, and I quote, "Here is a letter that I would like to read at this time. It says, 'I am a sheep herder in Wyoming. My only entertainment is a battery radio, which I must use sparingly to make the batteries last, and my fiddle, which I play a great deal.'" The letter went on to say, "However, I have lost the tuning of my A string on my fiddle. And for those of you who are not musically inclined, the A note is the universal tuning note for every instrument. And he said, I've lost the tuning of my A string on my fiddle, and I cannot play it at all. And then he made this request in the letter. Please, sir, is it possible for you and the orchestra to sound an A note on your program so that I can hear it and then tune my violin? The story goes that that vast network stood still for a moment, and Arturo Toscanini and the NBC Symphony Orchestra in unison played clearly one simple note, an A note, and it sounded out across the ether waves there to a lonely sheep herder by the light of his campfire, listening on a battery-powered radio, and he heard the note, tuned the A string, and then tuned the other strings as well, so that they were all in harmony once with another, and he was able to play the music that he loved to play. But before the harmony could come, before he could enjoy the music, there had to be the right note. And friend, before there is spiritual harmony in your life, before the holiness is present in your life, then you must make sure that you are using the right note, the right model, the correct blueprint.
Thanks so much for listening to the Lights of Spiritual Guidance today. I do hope you'll find a place to worship, and if you live near any of the following churches, I know you would be welcome. In the state of Illinois, Faith Chapel in Carrier Mills. In the state of Kentucky, I know you would be welcome in any of the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association. In the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point, Friendship Baptist Church, Willow Springs, or Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity. Here in the state of Indiana, where this program is produced, in the city of Columbus, Indiana, I know you would be welcome at Bethel Wesleyan Church, Columbus Free Methodist Church, or Flintwood Wesleyan Church. And in the state of Ohio, I know you would be welcome in the city of Fostoria, Ohio, at Trinity United Brethren Church. Hope you'll take time to write us a letter of support. It would mean so much. You could write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201, or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give through the Venmo or PayPal tag there. I hope you'll tune in next week at this same time, and in the meantime, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.